Today's daf is Rosh Hashanah daf Yuches. Today's shiur is sponsored by my aunt and uncle, by Jack and Jeanette Blumenkopf, the Zecher Nishmas, my wife's grandmother, Chana Hendel, Bas Avram Yosef, the Neshama Shlev and Aliyah, and we thank Jack and Jeanette very much for the sponsorship. Today we're going to continue discussing the discussion we had yesterday about the difference between a Gzar Din of a Yachid versus a Gzar Din of a Tzibur, and the Gemara is going to talk about why it is that you have two people in the same exact situation that will have different results from the Gzar Din, whether Gzar Din can be torn up after it's already made or only before it's already made, it could be avoided. We're going to talk about the power of a Gzar Din with a Shavu, that maybe when a Gzar Din is made with a Shavua, it's going to be a stronger type of Gzar Din, like happened with the Beis Eli, and we're going to discuss what the curse was, or the Gzar Din was, against the Beis Eli, and we're going to quote the stira between the Psukim of Dirshu Hashem Bihimatza, which implies that you should seek out Hashem on those days that He is available, versus B'chol Kareinu Alav, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is always available to listen to us. And the Gemara is going to explain, also the Mishnah used the term Kivnei Maron, that in Rosh Hashanah we pass in front of Hashem Kivnei Maron. We're going to explain what that term means. But then on the bottom of Amud Aleph, we're going to shift into a new Mishnah that's going to talk about the 6 months that the Shluchei Beis Din would have to go out to let people know when Rosh Chodesh was, because it was going to have an impact on something that happened on an important date during that month. And that's going to lead us into a discussion about the different fast days, the difference between Tisha B'Av and other fast days, and the significance of each fast day, how to understand the Pasuk that talks about the Tzom Arvi and Tzom Chamishi, Tzom Asir, all the different fast days, what they refer to. And then at the end of the daf, we're going to have a machlokas about Megillas Tainis, whether the Megillas Tainis is still intact, whether or if it's batel, whether we still observe the days of Megillas Tainis. And the Gemara is going to try to bring rayas, and that's going to bring us all the way into tomorrow's daf, Be'ez Hashem. But right now, we are holding on the top of Yud Ches Amud Aleph. We are at the second line of the page, Ugzar Din Diyachid Tanaihi. The Gemara says that the issue of a Gzar Din of a Yachid is in fact a Machlokas Tanayim, whether a Gzar Din of a Yachid can be undone. Because if you recall, we were in the middle of the discussion that Rabbi Yochanan made this comment that Shuvah is so great that it could be Mekara'as Gzar Din Shel Adam, that it could tear up the Gzar Din of a person. So the Gemara raised several questions on that, where we see that apparently it doesn't tear up a Gzar Din. Once you have a Gzar Din, it's already too late, it's no good. And that's why the last of the questions related to how Rabbi Akiva dealt with the stira between the pasuk Asher Lo Yisa Panim, that Hashem doesn't show favoritism, and then on the other end, Yisa Hashem Panav Elecha, Hashem does show favoritism to Klal Yisrael. So whereas in the Gemara Maseches Brachos, the Gemara says that when the Malachim challenged HaKadosh Baruch Hu with this issue, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, what, V'chilo Esa Panim LiYisrael, should I not show favoritism to Klal Yisrael? I tell them V'achalto V'savato V'rachta, that they should bench when they eat of Kedei Sviya, when they eat a full meal, and they bench even when they eat Akazayas Akabetza. But that's not what Rabbi Akiva, that's not how Rabbi Akiva answered the question over here. The way he answered over here was Kan Kodim Gzardin, Kan Liachar Gzardin. That before Gzardin, then there's Yisapanim, but after Gzardin, then there's no more Yisapanim. Then HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Lo Yisapanim. So the Gemara raised the question, if that's the case, then you see, Tshuva doesn't help, even after Gzardin. So the Gemara says, no, Hachnami B'Yachid, that's only by Yachid, but by Tzibur, Tshuva will help even after a Gzar Din. So building off of that, the Gemara says, Gzar Din de Yachid, Tanayihi. And the power, the impact of a Gzar Din on a Yachid is also Machlokas Tanayim. Detanya Hayra Meir Omer, Shnaim Sha'alu Lemita V'cholion Shava. You have two people that become ill and they have the same illness. V'chein Shnaim Sha'alu Legardun Lidon V'dinan Shava. Or two people are faced with a capital case where they're being tried for something that they could get killed for, and they have the same din. Ze yarad v'ze lo yarad. One guy is going to arise from his illness, going to get off the bed, and the other one won't. Ze nitzal v'ze lo nitzal. One of them will be acquitted, and the other one will not be acquitted. Mipnei ma ze yarad v'ze lo yarad. Ze nitzal v'ze lo nitzal. Well, what's the difference? Why is it that if you have two people in the exact same situation, they're going to have such drastically different results to their situations? So Zez, follow the nena, zes pal v'lo nena. One of them davens and is answered, one of them davens is not answered. Well, mipnei ma zeh nena v'zeh lo nena. Why does that happen? Why does one person's tefillah work and the other person's tefillah not work? So the Gemara answers, zes pal tefillah shlema nena, v'zeh lo pal tefillah shlema lo nena. It depends what kind of tefillah he was. If a person davens with a lot of kavana, he davens a complete tefillah with a fair amount of kavana, so he'll be answered. The person who doesn't daven properly is not going to be answered. But Rabbi Lazar Amar, kan kodem gzar din, kan liachar gzar din. No, the difference is whether it's before the gzar din or after the gzar din. That if it's before the gzar din, so then the person could still be answered. But if it's after the gzar din, then it's going to be too late. The person's not going to be able to be answered. Rabbi Yitzchak Amar, but Rabbi Yitzchak disagrees and he says, no, even after gzar din, yafat sa'aka la'adam, bein kodem gzar din, bein liachar gzar din. It's always good. Sa'aka, a person to cry out, is always beneficial, both before the gzar din and after the gzar din. So here you see the machlokas. Rabbi Lazar says that after the gzar din, it's too late, there's nothing you could do about it when it's a gzar din against the yachid. And you have Rabbi Yitzchak who says that sa'aka is always going to work, even after a gzar din. Even after a gzar din of a yachid, it's worthwhile to cry out to Hashem because it could still be undone even after the gzar din. So that's the assumption, that gzar din of a yachid is machlokas. But gzar din of a tzibur, we said that for sure can be torn up when people do tshuva. Gzar din tzibur mi mikra, so frek the gemara, is that really so? Does the gzar din of a tzibur really get torn up? But we have one pasuk that says kabsi me ra'a libeich uksiv, and we have another pasuk that says in Sefer Yirmiyah, but a couple of chapters earlier, the pasuk says ki im techabsi baneser v'sar bilach boris nichtam avanech lefanai nu'am Hashem. The pasuk goes on, so my love kan kodem gzar din kan liachar gzar din. One of them describes that the sin is still there and the other one describes the sin being washed away. So what's the difference? Isn't it because one is before the gzar din and one is after the gzar din? That after the gzar din it's too late, even though we're talking about a tzibur, that once the gzar din is made, there's nothing that you could do about it. Says Marlo, idi v'idi lach gzar din. They're both talking about after the gzar din. V'lo kasha, kan v'gzar din sheyesh imo shvua, kan v'gzar din she'ein imo shvua. It depends what type of gzar din it was. If it was a gzar din that was accompanied by a shvua, then that can never be wiped away. No matter what happens, that's always going to be there. But if it's a gzar din that did not have a shavua associated with it, and it was a gzar din against the rabbim, so tshuva can wipe away such a gzar din entirely. So says Rav Shmuel Barami, and this is very much in line with what Rav Shmuel Barami taught. Amar Rav Shmuel Barami, va'amri lo Amar Rav Shmuel Barnachmeni, Amar Rabbi Yonasan, minayin l'gzar din sheyeshimo shavua she'eno nikra. How do we know that a gzar din that has a shavua is not going to be torn up? Shenemar pasuk says l'chei nishbati l'beis eli. That the Beis Eli was punished, the family of Eli HaKohen was punished, that they're never going to have a kapara, even with all the karbanos that they want to bring, b'zevach u'b'mincha, they're not going to have a kapara. They're going to all die young. So Amar Rava, b'zevach u'b'mincha inu mischaper av mischaper b'torah. Sounds like the worst curse, but Rava says, you see in there, that it's that the Navi's telling us how they can achieve kapara, that they won't achieve kapara through Zevach and Mincha. All the Kabbalists in the world, they won't get Kapara, but they will get Kapara through Torah. They'll be Mischaper with Torah. Abayi, Amar Abayi says, B'Zevach and Mincha inu Mischaper, av Mischaper b'Torah u'b'Gemilas Chasadim. That it's not only Torah that they can get Kapara with, it's also Gemilas Chasadim that they could find their Kapara. Rabba va'Abaye mid-Beis Eli ka'asu, happened to be two great Amoraim, were both descendants of the Beis Eli, both Rabba and Abaye descended from the Beis Eli. Rabba, who engaged in Talmud Torah, lived for 40 years. So he died pretty young, but he died very young, but he lived for 40 years, which is older than people from the Beis Eli typically live for, because he was Osik B'Torah. Abaye, da Osik B'Torah, u'b'Gemilas Chasadim, chaya shisin shnin. Abaye, who was engaged in both Torah and Gemilas Chasadim, he lived for 60 years. So he got an extra 20 years, because it wasn't just Torah, it was Gemilas Chasadim as well. Now, if you look at Tosos tries to identify who was this Rabba, meaning is this Rava or is this Rabba? Normally when we have Abaye, it's Abaye and Rava, right? Yet over here it seems like it's Abaye and Rabba. So Tosos points out, Rava Chaveru Shal Abaye Lo Av HaKohen, Kedmuch Parak Hazra. It can't be Rava over here because Rava was not a Kohen. Rava, who always goes along with Abaye, wasn't a Kohen. We're talking about two people who descended from the Beis Eli. People descended from the Beis Eli obviously are Kohanim. V'hacha Rabba Chaveru Shal Rav Chista. Over here we're talking about Rabba, who is a contemporary of Rav Chista. V'chein Mashmanayim Perak Vasa Demoid Katan, Dama Rava Chaye B'ni Mizone, Lav B'Zchus Atali Milsa, B'Mazal Atali Milsa. And it sounds this way from the Gemara Moid Katan, because Rava over there says that one of the things that depends on Mazal is how long a person lives, and he proved it to Rabba Rav Chista to Ravai Tzadik and Gemur Mavu Mar Matzli Vaasi Mitra Mar Matzli Vaasi Mitra. Rabba and Rav Chista were both great tzadikim who could make it rain on demand. Rabba Chaya Arba in Shnin, Rav Chista Chaya Tish in Shnin, and yet Rabba only lived for 40 years, and Rav Chista lived for 90 years. But bottom line is, you see that it happened to be that Rabba, the contemporary of Rav Chista, lived for 40 years. So it must be that over here also it can't be a coincidence that our Rabba in this Gemara is also the Rabba, the contemporary of Chista. I fractosos im tomer minale de mishum mazala have a dum mishum draba asa mid beis eli. But that Gemara sounds against this Gemara, because that Gemara makes it sound like it was all based on his mazal that he lived for 40 years. Our Gemara says nothing to do with mazal, it has to do with the fact that he's from the beis eli. That's why he lived for 40 years. V'yesh lomer da filu achi ilav mazala have megin alav zuchus Torah. So Tosa says, if it weren't for the fact that one's lifespan depends on mazal, the zuchus of Torah would have protected him and allowed him to live for well more than 40 years. As it was, the Zechus HaTorah added 20 years to his life, allowed him to live to the age of 40, but it would have given him a lot, many, many more years had it not been for the issue of Mazel. So Tos asks now the obvious question, although he puts a maramakom to it. The Gemara says that Abaye, who did both Torah and Gemilas Chasadim, lived for 60 years. Rabba only learned Torah, didn't have any Gemilas Chasadim, so he lived for 40 years. Rabba never did any Gemilas Chasadim? Hard to believe. Tos doesn't just say hard to believe, but it's a Gemara. The Gemara says that Abaye said to Rabba, look at you, you're so wonderful, you have Torah, you have Gemilas Chasadim. So it's a Gemara that Rabba had Gemilas Chasadim. So how can our Gemara say Rabba didn't do Gemilas Chasadim? So it says Tos Yeshom to Mikol Makom Abaye Asak Tfei Minei. Rabba did Gemilas Chasadim, but it wasn't his emphasis. His emphasis was Talmud Torah. Abaye was more involved in Gemilas Chasadim, and that's why Abaye had these zuchus of Gemilas Chasadim to add those extra years to his life. Now so according to this Gemara, it's very clear that Abaye was a Kohen. In Maseches Megillah Dav Zayin and Beis, the Gemara says that Rabba would send Mishloach Manos biyad Abaye. He would make Abaye his shliach to send Mishloach Manos. So the Paras Yosef in the back of the Gemara Maseches Megillah says, wait a second, if Abaye was a Kohen, there's a halacha Paskin the Ramon Shulchan Aruch and Aruch Chaim Sim Kuf Chav Ches that Hamishtamish Bekohen Ki Ilu Ma'al. Person's not allowed to just make use of a Kohen to do his busy work, to have a Kohen do things for him. Mishtamish B'Kohen, it's as if he's being Mol B'Hegdish to be Mishtamish B'Kohen. So how can you use a Kohen to go and send your Mishloach Manos? So the Paras Yosef says that it's mutter for a Rebbe to do so for a Talmud, because the Gemara in Ksuvah says that Monea Talmidu Milasham Shukilu Monea Mimenu Chesed, that a Rebbe has to allow a Talmud to be Mishamish him, that Godol Shimusha Yosem Ilimudo, it's an incredible schus for a Talmud to be Mishamish a Rebbe. So with a Rebbe Talmud relationship, it's a little bit different. Ksav Sofer says that still a Rebbe can allow a Talmud to be Mishamishim, but he should never ask a Talmud to be Mishamishim if that Talmud is a Kohen, because the Rebbe Mitzido is not allowed to be Mishamish be Kohen. But if the Talmud wants to, the Talmud shows interest, so the Rebbe can't stop the Talmud from doing it. So Paras Yosef also suggests, based on our Gemara, that maybe the difference is because who was the one that was sending the Mishloach Manos in the Gemara Megillah? It was Rabba. According to our Gemara, Abaye wasn't the only one that was a Kohen. Rabba was also a Kohen. So maybe this idea that anyone was Mishamish B'Kohen is Kilu Ma'al, maybe that's only true if it's a Yisrael or a Levi being Mishamish B'Kohen, but maybe a Kohen is allowed to be Mishamish is allowed to use another Kohen to do his chores and his errands. So if that's the case, there's a discussion in the post. poskim, what about going to a kohen who's a doctor? Are you allowed? Is that a violation of being mishamish b'kohen? So the poskim are mekel. They say, first of all, you're paying him, so it's not really called being mishamish b'kohen. He's happy to receive payment to provide his services. And second of all, he has a responsibility. If he's a doctor, he has a chiyuv to heal, so he has a responsibility to heal. That's not called being mishamish in the normal way of being mishamish b'kohen. Okay. Later in the Gemara, Tanu Rabbanu, we have a brisa. Mishpacha achas haisu b'Yerushalayim shayu meisel meisin b'nei yudches shana. There was a family in Yerushalayim that the Nebuch, people were dying at the age of 18 years old. Bovo dios Rabbi Yochum and Zakkai, they let Rabbi Yochum and Zakkai know about this terrible tzara. So Amar lahem, shema mimishpachas Eli atem, and he said to them, maybe you descend from the family of Eli. Dichsiv be v'chol marbis peischa yomusu anashim. Pasuk says about the base of Eli that anyone who grows up in their house and comes from their houses, Yamusu Anashim, they're going to die as young men. Luchuvi isku b'tara v'chiyu. Well, we know that Zevach and Mincha is not going to help, but what you can do is you could go and learn Torah and then you'll live. Halchu v'asku b'tara v'chayu. So they went and they learned Torah and they lived. Well, why did he only tell them to learn Torah? Would have been a better idea to tell them to do Gemilas Chasadim as well. So the Chidah writes, either he knew that they were already Osek in Gemilas Chasadim, so he's giving them an additional Eitzah, or the Zuchus of Rabbi Yochum and Zakkai was Amdalahem, that he said Zuchuvis Kubatorah, and it's Sadikoza Kodesh Baruch Hu Mekayim. So whatever he would have said, they're going to listen to. That doesn't really answer why he didn't say Gemilas Chasadim, but it explains why it worked, that they just learned Torah, because the tzaddik was gozer. The Masifta of here quotes a third possible answer from the Stei Yitzchak, that maybe he was telling them, go and learn Torah, and when you learn Torah, you're going to learn there that you have a chiv to do Gemilas Chasadim, and then you're going to be engaged in Gemilas Chasadim as well. So that's the Eitzah that will cover both of them. So anyway, Vayukorinosa Mishpachas Rabbi Yochanan al Shemo. Because Rabbi Yochanan saved that family, they would call that family by the name of the family of Rabbi Yochanan. You have Gemaras like that elsewhere also. The Gemara in Shabbos talks about a baby who was Mesa Machmas Mila, or his brothers were died Machmas Mila, and one of the Amoraim took a look at him and said, oh, he's just a little yellow, you need to wait till he gets, till he heals up, and then you could, there's Rabbi Nassan, Rabbi Nassan Bishmo. So they called that baby, they named the baby after Rabbi Nassan, because he's the one that gave the Eitzah. So you see that if you have a person who's responsible for saving the life, it's appropriate that's who you name after. That comes up a few different times in Shas. Sometimes people who have difficulty conceiving want to name after the fertility doctor or whatever, whoever the shliach is that helps them out. But there's a mucker in Shas to do such a thing. Okay, it may make the doctor uncomfortable. But Amar Rav Shmuel bar Inya Mishmei Derav, Minayin L'Gzardin Shel Tzibur She'enu Nechtam. How do we know that Gzardin of a Tzibur, it's not going to be sealed? Einu Nechtam? What do you mean it's not going to be sealed? V'ksiv, Nechtam Avonech L'fanai. Ela Afagav She'nechtam Nikra. No, what it means is that even after Gzardin of a Tzibur is sealed, it could still be torn up. Shnemar, Ka Hashem Elokeinu B'chol Kareinu Elav. Because the Pasuk says that Hashem is always there whenever we cry out to Him. Ay, V'ksiv, Dirsh Hashem B'imatzau. But that's not so. The Pasuk says that you call out to Hashem when He's available. Sounds like He's not always available. So Hasam Yachid Hachab Tzibur. Difference is a Yachid versus a Tzibur. Yachid has to be very careful to take advantage of the time where HaKadosh Baruch Hu is available to us. But a Tzibur, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is B'chol Kareinu Elav. Whenever we call out to Him, He's there. So B'yachid Emas. So when is that time for a Yachid? Amar Rab Barvua Elu Asari Yamim Shebein Rosh Hashanah L'Yom HaKippurim. That's Aseres Yimei Tshuva. V'hi Kaseres HaYamim V'yigav Hashem Es Novel. So Yud Yamim Mayavidetayu. What are the 10 days till Novel was punished? What was the 10-day delay that we're referring to? So Amar Rav Yudom Rav K'neged Eser L'Gimos Shenasa Novel La'Avde David. As David sent 10 groups of Shluchim to Novel, Novel provided each of them with a su'uda, so for the meals that he provided for each of them, say his punishment was delayed by 10 days. Rav Nachman Barvua Elu Yud Yom Shvin Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippurim. Now the 10 days refers to the 10 days between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippurim, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu is waiting for us to cry out to Him, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is more available to use His midas rachmanus on us during those 10 days between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippurim. Rosh Hashanah, so the Mishnah had said that in Rosh Hashanah, all people pass in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Kivnei Maron. So what does that phrase mean, Kivnei Maron? The Gemara is going to have three possibilities. My Kivnei Maron. What is Kivnei Maron? Possibility number one, Achat Argimu, Kibnei Amarna. Like sheep that are being being counted for Meiser Behema, where you put them all in the pen and then you open up the door just a crack and you let them out one by one. So the point is that it's just a narrow opening and they go out one by one as you're counting them for Meiser Behema. So too, we go in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu one by one on Rosh Hashanah, that each of us are judged individually. Reish Lakish Amar Kemalos Beis Maron, that it relates to the Malos Beis Maron, that when you're going up a steep hill, so there are areas where you have to walk one behind each other. There are these narrow passageways that you can't walk side by side, so you have to walk up one right behind the other. So again, it's one by one. Ravidam Shmuel Kechayalo Shel Beis David, that it relates to the Chayalo Shel Beis David, those the soldiers of the Beis David, when they would go out to war, we'd have to take a head count before they went out to war, so you'd count them all one by one. But the bottom line is, all three interpretations really mean the same thing, that is, or sound like they mean the same thing, that is Kivnei Maron, that we're judged one by one. We're not judged, that we can't hide behind a group, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to look at each and every one of us individually on Rosh Hashanah. Many darshanim have pointed out that it can't be three things that mean exactly the same thing. Maybe what it's referring to is how we're judged as individuals. Our kivnei amarna, like sheep in a flock. I mean, we're judged individually, but how we contributed to the flock that we belong to. So yes, we're not judged. We can't hide behind the rest of the sheep, but we're judged as members of Klal Yisrael. How we did as members of Klal Yisrael, that we were not porish midarkei tzibur. Kimalos beis Maron means we're judged based on how much we're going up, not just where we are, but what our trajectory is. If we're growing, and kechayol shel beis David, we're judged by what we fight for, by what we're passionate about, what we think is worth fighting for. So maybe al derech drush, you could say something like that. But nevertheless, they're all looked at one time. They're all glanced at one time. Meaning, even though we're each judged individually, Hakadosh Baruch Hu looks at all of us together. So I think the Achronim explained, what does that mean? It's a direct stira. We just said we looked individually. Now we're saying that HaKadosh Baruch Hu looks at all of us together. So I think the way the Achronim explained it is that, like I was just saying with the Bnei Amarna, that yes, we looked at individually, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes the bigger picture into account. I think they quote from Chesky Levenstein that HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes the bigger picture into account. Meaning, if a person gets punished, a person suffers, so sometimes he's the one that suffers and no one else really cares. So he's the only one that's being punished. Sometimes he has people that love him, that care about him, that are invested in him, and that will be deeply affected by that person's suffering. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu looks at an individual, he looks at that person's ma'asim, whether he deserves to be punished or not, but he also looks at the group and how it's going to affect the group around him. That's what they say when certain gedolim were asked for a bracha. People were asking him for a bracha because they're suffering. He would say, are you someone who's involved in the tzibur? Are you someone who's involved in the community that the community needs you? Because if you're someone that the community needs, then that's a great zechus that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to look b'skira achas. He's going to look at the whole community before he decides what he's going to do to an individual person. Amrav Nachmar Yitzhak Afana Nami Tanina Hayotza Yachal Libam Ameven Al Kamaseim. My Kamar, what's the pasuk telling me? Ile Mahachi Kamar, if it means to be saying to Barinu Lukuli Almam Yachli Bayu Kadadi, that Hayotza Yachal Libam means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made us all the same, that we all think the same, we all view things the same way. But that's obviously not true. So, no, what it must mean to say is Hayotzer Roa Yachad Libam Uvmeven Al Kamasem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Yotzer, sees together everyone's hearts all together. He's able to judge everybody all at the same time. Good, new Mishnah. Al Shisha Chadash Mashluchin Yotzin. So the Mishnah discusses the 6 months of the year that it was critical that messengers went out to let people know when Rosh Chodesh was. So Al Nisan Mipnei Pesach, they had to go out for Nisan so that people could know when to observe the Yom Tov of Pesach. Tosus points out, but they didn't have to go out by Sivan to let people know when Shavuos is, because Shavuos is not a function of Sivan, like we saw the Gemara earlier. It could be Hey Sivan, Vav Sivan, Zayin Sivan. That's a function of Sfira. So once Pesach is Nikva, then we're going to know when Shavuos is. Al Av Mipnei Atayinus, they had to go out for Chodesh Av for Tisha B'Av. Al El Mipnei Rosh Hashanah, by El, so that we can know when to observe Rosh Hashanah. So Rashi writes, what does it mean so we can know when to observe Rosh Hashanah? Modiya Masai Hischel Elul V'Osim Rosh Hashanah B'Yom Shloshim LaElul B'Gola. You'll always know that Rosh Hashanah is the 30th day of Elul. It's 30 days later. The Rov Shanah Main Elul Mu'ubar, because most years Elul is only 29 days. So on day 30, it's already Rosh Hashanah. Aye, but maybe Elul had 30 days that year. V'Afalpi Shesafik Hu B'Yadam Shema Yavru Beizin Yevshal En Ladas. But it's impossible for them to know because it's on Rosh Chodesh. Tishrei is Rosh Hashanah, so they would never know. So Val Karchan Ol Kanaka Rov Shanim. So they went Basarov. They had the right to assume that it was the 30th day, and that's when they observed Rosh Hashanah. But if they didn't know when Elul started, then they wouldn't even know which day was the 30th day. But that's what happened. So it sounds from Rashi that they observed one day of Rosh Hashanah, and that they were able to follow the Rov and assume that day 30 is the day that's when they can observe Rosh Hashanah. Tosu says not that way. Tosu says Alel Mipnei Rosh Hashanah. Tosu says Modiya Masai Maskalel V'Olsin Rosh Hashanah B'Yom Shloshim La'El Bagola V'Gam L'Macharaso. They would observe Rosh Hashanah on the 30th day. Plus the next day, they had to make 2 days of Rosh Hashanah because, after all, it may be that Elul had 30 days, and it may be that it had 29 days. Could have gone either way. But if I didn't know when Elul began, then they would be in trouble. So they at least had to know when Elul began. But still, Tosus says they would observe 2 days of Rosh Hashanah. In fact, it's a major kasha in Rashi. Tosus points out just a couple of examples in Shas where we see that Rosh Hashanah was 2 days. It's more than a couple of it's all over the place that we see the Rosh Hashanah, that Rosh Hashanah is 2 days. So the Netziv suggests that it depends. If the places that the Shluchim were able to get to before Yom Kippur, so they would know what day Yom Kippur was, so in those places they would observe Rosh Hashanah for 2 days. But places that the Shluchim would not be able to get to before Yom Kippur, so for Yom Kippur they would have to rely on the Rov anyway, because you can't fast 2 days Yom Kippur. So Yom Kippur they were going to have to rely on the Rov anyway to observe one day of Yom Kippur. So it would be a stira minei ubei to rely on the Rov for Yom Kippur and not to rely on the Rov for Rosh Hashanah. So in places that the Shluchim, ironically, it turns out, places that the Shluchim were not able to get to, that were further away, only observed one day of Rosh Hashanah, according to Rashi, but places that the Shluchim were able to get to by Yom Kippur, and were therefore closer, so since by Yom Kippur they had a Vaday already, they were able to be Machmir on Rosh Hashanah to observe 2 days of Rosh Hashanah. The Chiddush of the Netziv had to understand Rashi. Al Tishrei Mibnei Takanas HaMoados. And Tishrei, Rav Zubas on Tishrei, they go out for the Takanas HaMoados to let people know when the Yom Tovim and Tishrei are going to be, when Yom Kippur and Sukkot. Al Kislev Mipnei Chanukah, Kislev they had to go out because of Chanukah. Val Ado Mipnei Purim, and Ado they had to let people know when to observe Purim. Ukshoy Beis Hamikdash Kaim Yotzin Af Al Iyar Mipnei Pesach Katan, and in times of the Beis Hamikdash they also had to go out for Iyar to know when Pesach Sheni is going to be. Now, the what happens nowadays when we don't have Shluchei Beis Din anymore or whatever? So when do we observe? Which places observe Shnei Yom Tovim, Yom Tov Sheni Shagolios? Which places don't? It's a major machlokas rishonim, because it sounds from the Mishnah that it really just depended on where the Shluchim got to. So you could have places technically in Eretz Yisrael that are part of Eretz Yisrael, but the Shluchim didn't get there. They'd have to observe Yom Tov Sheni Shagolios, so to speak, and you could have places in Chutz Laretz, technically, that the Shluchim were able to reach, and then they would not have to observe Yom Tov Sheni. So the Ritva writes, the way it works is, in all Eretz Yisrael, it's 1 day, even in the places where the Shluchim did not reach, and in all Chutz Laretz, it's 2 days, even in the places where they did reach. What's the Svara? Because nowadays, we're Beki and Bekviyas HaChodesh, and it's just Minag Avosenu Biyadeinu that we do 2 days. So since Avosenu had different Minhagim based on the Makom where they were, so we go Basarov, and Alpi Rov, Eretz Yisrael was a place where the Shluchim would reach, and Alpi Rov, Chutz Laretz is a place where Shluchim would not reach. But that's how we just paint it with broad strokes. Eretz Yisrael is 1 day, Chutz Laretz is 2 days. The Rambam, in Hilchos Kiddush HaChodesh, Parakei, says not that way. He says it has nothing to do with Eretz Yisrael and Chutz Laretz. It has to do with how far you are from Yerushalayim. If it's more than a 10-day journey from Yerushalayim, they'd make 2 days of Yantiv, even if it's in Eretz Yisrael, because the Shluchim wouldn't get there in time. And any place that's within 10 days or less of Yerushalayim, if it's Eretz Yisrael, where they were Mekadosh al pi ha'ri'iyah in back in the old days, so they would make one day. And if it's Chutz La'aretz, then they do Minhag Avosayin. If they did one day, so they would do one day nowadays as well. If they did 2 days back then, they would do 2 days nowadays as well. So the Rambam says it's much more directly related to what actually used to happen. Now we said Kislev Mnei Chanukah and Adar Mnei Purim L'chora. The Achronim raised the question: why is it that in a place where the Shluchim would not reach, why is it that we don't observe 2 days of Purim or 9 days of Chanukah? Meaning the Kasha is often asked, why do we have 8 days of Chanukah, but the Kasha is asked, like the Beis Yosef says, and not 7 days, but there's a Kasha, why 8 days, not 9 days of Chanukah? It should be Shnei Yom Tovim. So the Nesiv explains, by Chanukah you can't make a Yom Tov Sheni, because how many candles would you light? Meaning if you're trying to do the Mahajim and the Mahajim, so on the second night you light one candle and two candles, because it might be the first night, it might be the second night, but you know what one and two is? That's three. So then it looks like the third night, so the whole thing is silly. Doesn't align. Purim, he says, also, if you make 2 days misafek, it would be a violation of what it says in the Megillah, because it would turn out that on the 15th day of Adar, we're knowing Purim in the Prazim and in the Mukafim. And the Pasuk says, Zmanu shel zeh lo kizmanu shel bizmanehem, the Pasuk says, and we darshan Zmanu shel zeh lo kizmanu shel zeh, that there cannot be an overlap in the Purim, in the Prazim and the Mukafim. They're supposed to observe Purim on different days. Now, it's also interesting, the Mishnah says that there were Yotzin af al Iyar. When the Beis HaMikdash was around, they would even go out for Iyar, which makes it sound like when we had a Beis HaMikdash, we had all of these six plus Iyar. So the Torah Evan says, no, you shouldn't have the word af. It should be Yotzin al Iyar without the word af, because the af implies that the other six also applied when the Beis HaMikdash was around. But it's not true. One of these doesn't belong when the Beis HaMikdash was around, and that is an av, mipnei atainis. They wouldn't fast on Tisha B'Av when they had the Beis HaMikdash. And for the simcha that they had in Tisha B'Av, you don't need to go out, because it wasn't a real yontif in the conventional sense. So they'd only go for the 6 months. It just happens to be that the 6 months changed when the Beis HaMikdash was around and when the Beis HaMikdash was not around anymore. Okay, says Gemara, V'leif kunami atamus v'teves, why don't they go out also for Tamuz and Teves? The Amr of Chana Bar Bizna, Amr of Shimon Chasida, Maidich Siv, Ko'amar Hashem Tzvakos, Tzoma Revi, V'tzoma Chamishi, V'tzoma Shvi, V'tzoma Siri, Yiel Beis Yehuda, L'sasun L'simcha. The Navi tells us that the days that we observe as fast days, Zechariah tells us, are going to be days of Sasan and Simcha. Well, Karilu Tzom, Karilu Sasan and Simcha. We call them fast days, and we call them days of Sasan and Simcha. Which is it? So, Bizman Shiyesh Shalom, Yilu Sasan and Simcha. When there's Shalom, when we have a Beis HaMikdash, and everything is going beautifully for Klal Yisrael, so then those days are days of Sasan and Simcha. Ein Shalom Tzom. But when there is no Shalom in Klal Yisrael, then they're going to be days of fasting. So, but bottom line is, if these are all fast days, so why don't we send out shluchim for these fast days as well, for the other fast days as well? Why is it only Tisha B'Av? So Amar Papa Achikama, Bizman Shiyesh Shalom Yilu Sasan L'Simcha. When there's Shalom, so there are days of Sasan and Simcha. Yesh Kzeres Malchus Tzom. When there's terrible decrees against the Jewish people, then there are absolute fast days. Ein Gezeres HaMalchus Vein Shalom, but if it's neither, it's not a time where there's Shalom, not a time where we have the Beis HaMikdash, and it's not a time where we're suffering terrible Gezeros, so then Ratzu Mesanin, Ratzu Ein Mesanin, then it's up to us, then we get to determine whether we would like to fast or not like to fast. So that's why the Shluchim didn't have to go out for those days, because those are days that are totally optional. We have the option of choosing to fast or not to fast. Who has the options? I mean, each and every individual could choose whether they want to fast or not want to fast on those days, or does it mean Klal Yisrael as a whole has the option? So the Rambam, Pirshei Mishnayos, says, Ratzu Mesanin is tali b'chol yachid v'yachid, that every individual has the right to make that choice for himself. The Ramban in Torah Sa'adim and the Rosh in Siman Vav say that no, it's dependent on Rov Yisrael. If Rov Yisrael is maskim not to fast, so then Bezin cannot be matriach them to fast, but if Rov Yisrael is maskim to fast, so the yachid is not allowed to be poresh midarkei atzibur. So the Yachid always has to go along with the Tzibur. The Ramban also writes, interestingly, the Ramban writes, quoted in the Ran over here, that Mi'ikra Adin, all the Dalet Tzomos are Asr, Berchitza, Besicha, Benilas Sandal, Betashma Shamita, all the Inuyim are really Asr on all these fast days, and we'd have to start them the night before, meaning all of these days are really like Tisha B'Av, because the Gzeres Nevi'im is Logara from Gzeres Beis Din, where we find that it's Asr to do all these things. And called Tikkun Nevi'im Kendar Reisa Tikkunim, so all the fast days should be patterned after your Yom Kippur, where you have all of these halachos. And that's what it says by in the Medrash about the Tainus in the days of Esther. But Bizman HaZeh, the reason we don't observe all these chumros is because it's all Tali Baratzon Bizman HaZeh. There are no gzeros. We're not in time of Shalom, we're not in time of gzeros. It's all Tali Baratzon. So this is what we decided to do. This is what Klal Yisrael decided to do, to observe these fast days partially, to not observe them entirely and not observe all the inuyim, but to partially observe these fast days. That's what the Ramban says. That's how the minhag developed, that we have what we have. So frankly, Gemara, but wait a second. If all of these fast days, we're not going to send shluchim because they're all optional, Iyachi Tisha B'Av Nami, then we shouldn't send shluchim for Chodesh Av for Tisha B'Av either, because it's also optional. So I'm Rav Papa, no. Shiny Tisha B'Av hol v'huch b'lubo tzaros. Tisha B'Av is different because Tisha B'Av had multiple tzaros occur on Tisha B'Av. Damar Mar, but Tisha B'Av charav abayis b'rishon b'shniya, both Batei Migdash were destroyed in Tisha B'Av, v'nilkedas Beitar, and Beitar was captured, v'nechra Shayir, and the city of Yerushalayim was plowed over. So Tisha B'Av suffered all these terrible things that happened on Tisha B'Av, and the Gemara in Tainus and the Chavtes says, based on that, it all started with the Meraglim. It does the Cheshbon that the night the Meraglim came back from their mission was on Tisha B'Av, and they cried a Bechiah Shalchinam, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Kaveya, a Bechiah Lidoros, as a result of that. Now, what is clear from this Gemara is that Midivrei Kabbalah, there's no Chiv to fast on Tisha B'Av any more than the other fast days. When we say Huch B'lu Botzaros, that's a Din Terabbanan. We're saying that it's dependent on Ratzu, that whether you want to or not, and the Chacham got together and Kal Yisrael got together and said, you know what, Tisha B'Av is an awful enough day that we're Rotzin, that we want to fast on Tisha B'Av, we want to still observe it as a fast day. So the Avails of Tisha B'Av is Terabbanan. It's not even Midivrei Kabbalah. And that's why a Chola or someone, many Rishonim write, that a Chola doesn't need to, you don't need Omer on Tisha B'Av to figure out how sick he is and to figure out Shiurim and all, because it's all fast Midrabanan. It's not even Midivrei Kabbalah. However, the Torah says not that way. The Torah writes that the Yisra Achiliv Shti on Tisha B'Av is Midivrei Kabbalah. Now, Tosas has two interpretations. What it means, Huchbulu Bo HaTzaros, that the Tzaros were doubled up. Because Tosas, after all, points out, the Gemara in Mesechus Tainus tells us, and the Mishnah Mesechus Tainus actually tells us, that it's not only on Tisha B'Av that we had multiple Tzaros. Shivasa B'Tamuz also had five things that happened on Shivasa B'Tamuz, five terrible things that occurred on Shivasa B'Tamuz. So why is it that Tisha B'Av is identified as being the worst one because of Huchbul Ba'atzaros? So Tosa says that either Churban Beis Hamikdash Takifa Tuva, that there's no tzara like the tzara of the Churban, and that's why it's called Huchbul Ba'atzaros, that not just that the number of tzaras that happened, but the intensity of the tzara, Churban Abayis, or Va'od Lo Dami L'Tishbav the tzara Achas Huchbul Abav, that on Shivasa B'Tamuz five separate things happened on Shivasa B'Tamuz. On Tishbav, the same tzara happened twice. The Beis Hamikdash was destroyed the first time and the second time on Tishbav, and that's what it means, Huchbul Ba'atzaros. And that's what makes it more intense, that the same tzara happened twice. But either, according to either interpretation, it tells us what it really boils down to is the Churban Abayis. That the Churban Abayis is the real reason that Tisha B'Av is much worse. So even though, yes, Tisha B'Av is a day of sadness for everything, and it's a day where we observe all Jewish tragedies and mourn all Jewish tragedies, and that's what's clear in the Kinos, but the emphasis is still on the Beis HaMikdash, because that's clearly the reason, what gives Tisha B'Av its uniquely sad character is based on the Beis HaMikdash. Tanya, Amar Rabbi Shimon, Arba Devarim Hayu Rabbi Akiva Doresh, Va'ani Eina Doresh Kamoso. There are four things that Rabbi Akiva would darshan. I don't darshan like him, says Rabbi Shimon. Somar Avi Zet Hespetamuz, Shabo Hufka Yir Shenemar, Betisha Lechodesh, Viechsak Rav Beir, Vlo Hayel Lechem La'am Haaretz, Batibaka Yir. That Somar Avi is actually a reference to the ninth day of Tammuz, where the city was captured. Va'mai Kari Le Revi. Why is it called the fast day of the Revi? Revi Lechadashim. It means Revi Lechadashim, the fourth month of the year that it occurs in. Tzomach Hamishi, when we refer to Tzomach Hamishi, Zeh Tisha B'Av, that's a reference to Tisha B'Av, Shabo Nisraf Pes Alukenu, when the God, the house of God was burnt. The Gemara in Tainus points out that there is actually a stirim psukim. One pasuk says that it was burnt on the seventh day of Av, and the other pasuk says it was burnt on the tenth day of Av. Neither pasuk says it was burnt on the ninth day of Av. So the Gemara says that what happened was the bizyonos to the Beis HaMikdash started on the seventh day of Av. They went in, they started being mekalkel and doing all sorts of horrible things in the Beis HaMikdash on the seventh day of Av. They actually lit it on fire toward the end of the day on Tisha B'Av. And at the end of the day on Tisha B'Av, the fire started. Most of it burnt on Asara B'Av. And that's why the 10th day of Av is identified as the day that it was burnt. The reason we observe on Tisha B'Av, the Gemara in Taina says, well, wait a second, Rabbi Yochanan says, if I was there when they were determining when to fast, I would have said the 10th day of Av, that's when it was burnt. But the Gemara says, Tchilasa de Paranus is Adif, that the beginning of the Paranus is where we emphasize the greatest Sara, and that's why we observe Tisha B'Av, not Asara B'Av. Why is it called the fifth fast? So Chamishi L'Chadash, it means it's in the fifth month of the year. Tzom HaShvi'i Zeh Gimel B'Tishrei Shabo Ner Gedali Ben Achikam. Tzom HaShvi'i is the third day of Tishrei, which is what we call Tzom Gedalia. Umi Hargo Yishmol Ben Asanya Hargo. Who killed him? Yishmol Ben Asanya killed him. Landucha Sheshkul Misas Shal Tzadikim Kishrefas Beis Elokeinu. We fast on Tzom Gedalia like we would fast on a Tisha B'Av to let us know that the burning of the death of a tzaddik is sometimes as critical to us as the burning of a Beis HaMikdash. That sometimes you can have a person who's a Beis HaMikdash of flesh and bones, and such a Beis HaMikdash is worthy of mourning as well. Now it's interesting, the Pashta sounds like Gedalia was killed on Gimel Tishrei, and that's what the Rambam writes in Hilchos Tainios, and that's what the Torah writes. Rabbi Yeruchim says that in Rosh Hashanah he was killed, and the Tainus was nidcha to Yom Chol because in Rosh Hashanah you couldn't have the Tainus, couldn't have a day of mourning in Rosh Hashanah. So if that's the case, though, the Yad Ephraim raises the question: why is it that Gimel Tishrei is noeg bo a sasam v'simcha when the Beis Hamikdash is around? Right, the Gemara says that all these days are going to be days of sasam v'simcha. But if Gimel Tishrei wasn't really the day of fasting for Gedalia ben Achikam, it's just that it was a nidcha. So when we have a day of sasam v'simcha, why don't we bring it back to the right day? Bring it back to Rosh Hashanah when it actually happened. So Minchas Chinuch is Mitari, it's a mitzvah shenalif, based on that all fast days are not really based on the day. They're really fast days, as the Pasuk identifies in Zechariah, they're fast days that have to be on a day during that month. So it's not really about the anniversary of the day that we're so concerned with these fast days. The greater concern is that it be on a day within that month. So once we pick a day within that month, so then that day is going to be the day of the fasting and the day of Sasan HaSimcha when we have Beis HaMikdash. V'amai kari le'shvi, shvi l'chadashim. Tzom HaSiri, why is it called Tzom HaSiri? What is Tzom HaSiri? Zeh Asar B'Teves, Shabo Somach Melech Bavel Yerushalayim. That's Asar B'Teves, where the Melech Bavel came against Yerushalayim. Shnem Rav Yidvar Hashem, Alay B'Shana Chiz, B'Chodesh HaSiri, Basol Chodesh, Leymar Ben Adam, K'sav Lucha, Eshem Hayom, Eshem Hayom, as etzem ayom azeh samach melech bavel Yerushalayim. V'amai kari le'asiri, why is it called asiri? Asiri l'chadashim, not because it's the 10th day of the month, but it's in the 10th month. V'alo hayorai zeh lichtov rishon v'lam minichtov kan. Wait a second, chronologically the melech bavel samach Yerushalayim before the sreifa, before the huvka year, before all the other things. So why is it the last one mentioned in the pasuk? So k'dei lahasir chadashim k'tiknan, because the pasuk lists them the orders of the month, starting with Nisan. Vani ein yomer kein el tzom asiri zeh chamisha b'teves shabab baso shmuel legolah shehuksa ir. So Rabbi Shimon says that's a Rabbi Kiva darshan. I don't think so. I think tzom asiri refers to the fifth day of Teves, where the word got out what happened to Yerushalayim. So it actually was the last one chronologically. Shnei Rav Yibishtei Asrei Shana b'asiri b'chamisha lechodesh legolasenu b'ayilei apalim Yerushalayim lemar huksa ir v'alsi yom shmua ki yom sreifa v'nirin dvarai mid Dvarav, and I think I'm right, says Rabbi Shimon, more so than Rabbi Akiva, Shani Omer al Rishon Rishon ve'al Achron Achron, because I have the fast days listed in chronological order of how they should be listed. V'omer al Rishon Achron ve'al Achron Rishon, but he has the first thing after the list of last, and the last thing listed first. Elishuuman l'seid chadashim v'animona l'seid pranos. The difference is he counts based on the months, and I count based on the pranos that happened on that day. Okay, we're a little bit behind. We'll pick up from Itmar Bez Hashem. Tomorrow. We're going to Megillas Tainus tomorrow. Oh, yeah.